All right, everybody, you can go ahead and take your seats. We're going to get started with this next seminar of the morning. My name is Steve Parr. I'm the Assistant Director of the American Homebrewers Association. I'm going to give a quick introduction to this next seminar, Big Party, Big Money. Our presenters are Scott Hackett and Scott Michaels, or the Scots, as we like to call them, out of Bull City Homebrew. Both are co-owners of Bull City Homebrew in Durham, North Carolina. Scott Hackett is also an accomplished homebrewer, perhaps best known for his Comrade Hazelnut Russian Imperial Stout. Scott's a father of two, a phenomenal video gamer, and a lover of all things hoppy. Scott Michaels, when he's not drinking his favorite beer, Milwaukee's Best Lights, just kidding, it's Busch Lights, he's busy driving carloads of kids to soccer practice, doing laundry, cleaning toilets, or trying unsuccessfully to braid his daughter's hair. So I think these guys are going to...
Milwaukee's Best is a lie.
We talked about yesterday during some of the presentations about reaching out and to your local homebrewing community as well as craft beer community and using events to grow your business and reach new customers. And these guys are going to touch on that here a little bit today. So will everyone please join me in welcoming Scott and Scott.
Thank you, guys. Good morning. Welcome to Big Party, Big Money. We're going to show you easy ways to turn a big party, a fun time, into a lucrative sales day. And again, we keep it easy for you. Just one name for you guys to remember. I'm Scott Michaels.
I'm Scott Hackett.
There you go. We're the Scott. So for those of you who may have stayed out too late last night, maybe took the party back to the hotel, maybe got 4 or 5 hours of sleep and are not awake yet, that wasn't us, of course, because we would never do that.
No.
We got a solid 8 hours, but we'll get some music going here and wake you up. Because it's a party, right? So we should have party music. I mean, that's apropos, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You guys know this song? Lit Up? Yeah. Okay. I'll click off it before we get to the cocaine reference. There we go. All right, here we go. So where did this idea even come from? When we were setting up the shop a little over 5 years ago, we talked to a guy named Forrest from Austin Homebrew Supply, who told us, don't waste your money on advertising like I did. I blew $25,000 on advertising. All I really needed to do was have a party. And he's like, you'll bring the people out, give them beer samples. It's going to be great. So of all the things he told me, there were a few that I remembered, like, I've got to definitely do that. And this is one of those that we've done, and thank you, Forrest, wherever you are, for this tip, because it's worked out well for us and it should continue in the future, and hopefully y'all can do it too if you're not doing this already. So why even do this? A, big sales day potential. And we're going to have some quizzes, by the way, so get ready to like raise your hand or stand up or something. We'll try to make it a little interactive. B, a chance to recruit new brewers. C, nice to give back to customers. D, builds community. E, increased exposure. Or F, all of the above. What do you guys think? Yeah, right. It's all of the above. Exactly. They're going to get a little more difficult, the questions. Well, not really. They're all pretty easy. All right. So the key thing when you start is getting organized. And Scott over here is our organizational guru. So tell him about the big list.
Yeah. Preparation for the big event that you're going to have is really, really important. And one of the most important parts is this big checklist. So one of the best ways to go about tackling a checklist like this is using visualization. So how many people, when they saw big party, big money, actually visualized what a party would look like at your homebrew store? If you close your eyes, you can picture in your mind what that would look like. That's the best way to go about tackling this big checklist. So close your eyes, kind of walk through what it looks like. See all the different big things that are going on. Maybe you're giving out hot dogs. Maybe you're giving out beer samples. Maybe wine samples. Maybe you have a section where people are doing homebrew demos. All kinds of different things. Kids' play area, parking. What are all the different aspects of the event that's going on at your homebrew store? And list those things out. And once you get that big master list, start going item by item and breaking them down. So, for instance, for us, for hot dogs, obviously we know we need a grill. We need a table, we need buns, we need hot dogs, condiments, all of those different things that you'll actually need to do that particular thing. And then put names on all of those so everybody knows exactly what everybody is responsible for. You want to make sure that everybody has jobs, that everybody has an equal amount of jobs, and that everything is accounted for. And that way you know that when the big event comes around, you're going to be prepared, and everybody is going to have their stuff ready to go. The big checklist is the best way to prepare for your event.
Scott, you know what I love about this the most? If you look down the list of who's responsible for stuff, there's not much in the way of Scott M. there. I don't know how I managed to weasel out of that, but check it out. There's not much Scott M. run
He's
this.
He's in charge of the sampling station.
I'm in charge of the beer. I'm in charge of dispensing beer. Who scored on that one, right?
And the best part about the big checklist is that once you do it for one event, you can reuse that checklist for all of your future events and add to it and make it better. It's really kind of a one-time setup thing that you'll reuse over and over again.
So we decided we need to get the word out. You guys like the little play on words? See what we're doing there? Get the word out. Yeah? You're like, yeah, we got it. It's not that creative. So this was the one area, actually, where we didn't do that well. I don't know if anyone's having luck using Facebook. It's easy to set up a Facebook event, but not the best, most effective way for us to reach people. As you can see, our post reach was 37. Yeah, we were hoping for a few extra zeros on the back of that. But we've had issues with Facebook and trying to, we haven't paid for the boost post, so we haven't done that well out of Facebook. If anyone's been successful at using Facebook to reach people, come see us afterwards because we could use help there. But still, you know, we have a Facebook page, so we use it nonetheless. We were more successful using Twitter, getting the word out. And not only did we have the hashtags, but Scott, tell them about some of the swag and the visual aids we had here.
Right, so how important is the swag? We're at HomebrewCon. How important is it being able to go around and pick up free stuff? People love free stuff. The orange White Labs glasses. We enjoyed the heck out of these last night. It doesn't cost a lot of money. There's lots of online vendors where you can get stuff with your brand, your company name, the web address, the telephone number on it. We use Forum Print to get these bottle openers over here. We use Grandstand glasses to get branded pint glasses and wine glasses. Sticker Mule to get stickers. There's lots of different places where you can get stuff from. Don't feel like you just have to go to one particular vendor. There's lots of people out there that want to compete for good prices. Another thing that you can do with your swag is when you get this stuff in before the event, tweet it. Put it up on your social media. Show people what they can actually come and get for free when they come to your event. It's a great way to get people excited to come out to the event before it actually happens.
By the way, I got a cool picture of you with your sunglasses
out
addressing the masses. That'll be on social media later.
I love these glasses.
They look good on you. Okay, another way we got the word out, we made posters of different sizes, and we put them up in approximately 50 bars, breweries, and bottle shops. This kind of goes hand in hand with what Steve was talking about yesterday. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, 41% of people, of craft beer drinkers, have an interest in homebrew, right? It's obvious it kind of goes hand in hand, so of course we hit those places, and people in our community were really cool, and we got to put those up. We tried to put them up about a week or two out. Enough in advance so people could plan on it, but not too far in advance so that it might get ripped down before the event. And we had them in different sizes. You'll see we had the poster size over to the left, and then we had the size that just fits in the palm of your hand. And again, we hit the tap rooms. This was a growler shop where they have about 50 different varieties of beer that you can fill up with, so it was a good spot. And not only is it a good spot to be seen, but we start to develop relationships with some of these people, and we're thinking about collaborating on future events. When I was in there, she said, why don't we have a homebrew contest? We should do something with you guys. Yeah, okay. I don't know if we'll end up doing it, but we're forging the relationships with some other businesses that will dovetail nicely with what we're doing. We also handed out those little flyers for customers who came in. We handed them out, so when they left their bag full of stuff, we put that in there, so a reminder to them. So we're hitting people outside the store on social media and inside the store. And I put a reminder up there. What happened there? Anyway, it says, reminder to Scotts. We need to tell them about what happened. One of the mistakes we made when we tried to do this in January was we didn't have a rain date. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember it. It completely destroyed one of our events. So you can see on there where Scott pointed out that we have a rain date defined because Murphy's Law, something is going to go wrong on your event day. And for us, one of the events was rained out, and we just couldn't have it. There was just too much rain. And because we had failed to tell people, even figure out for ourselves, what's going to happen if it rains, there was a lot of confusion between us, with customers, the people that wanted to come to the event, of what's going on. And we didn't even really know ourselves because we just hadn't planned for that. So it's really important to plan what's going to happen if something goes wrong and you just can't have the event on that date. Like I said, in our case, it completely wiped out one of the events that we had planned. So make sure that you do that.
And of course, when we planned this one, we had a rain date. We had this a month ago on May 7th. And of course, when we had the rain date, the weather was beautiful, of course. But had we not had that rain date, we all know what would have happened, right? Cats and dogs, but we didn't have to deal with that. So that was good because we had the rain date. That's a mistake we won't make again. All right, so here's a quiz question. How much money did we spend on the flyers, the little and big ones? Was it $50, $75, $100, or $125? Here's some thinking music. Homebrewed audio.
It's royalty free. You didn't have to pay a dime for this.
Don't tell Alex Trebek here that we pirated his music. I think this would come under fair use, though. You're laughing now, but there are more of them. By the end of this, they might not be laughing.
We're going to be run out of this place.
They'll be throwing tomatoes and stop. Okay, so remember how much you like it now. All right, how many of you think we spent $50? Hand up for $50. $75. Hundy. $125. Well, let's see the answer. It was $100. One great way we got to reach people also was with our mass email, which Scott sent, which was awesome. Tell them about that.
Yeah, so mass email is actually kind of an overlooked part of a lot of people's marketing campaign. It seems kind of outdated, and I mean, we all get tons of email in our inboxes that we just hate. We don't want to see it. It goes right to the spam folder. Mass email, which we'll see in a little bit, is actually a great way to get your information in front of a lot of people all at once. So we use something called MailChimp. It's available to anybody for free. You can send up to 2,000 emails at a time. And when we send mass emails out, we try to be respectful of people's inbox. We try not to send too many of these mass emails. We want to make sure that when we send an email, it's got some really important information that we want them to see. And so basically, we took what we did for the flyer, and we put that into the mass email, sent that out. And it's also really important when you're putting together the content of your email. It's equally as important to get a good subject line that people will click on. All they're going to see when they look at their inbox is a list of subject lines. So National Homebrew Event, 15% off of everything, a big sale, people would click on it, and then you can see all the details. But make sure that you hook people in with that subject line. It's really important. The other cool thing about using MailChimp is that it has all kinds of great analytics that go along with it. So when you put together a campaign like this, if you put links into it, MailChimp will tell you how many people clicked on your email, how many people opened it up, how many people clicked through to your website, how many people clicked on each of the individual links. So you can see in your campaign, what did people click on? What were they interested in? What were they not interested in? And the more you do that, the more you get a sense of what people are going to be interested in when you send out emails like this. It's a really, really powerful tool. And it's available for free.
And this was great. Back to the subject line again. You know, we have quickly just what it is. Homebrew Day event, 50% off everything, and the exclamation point. That's a reason to open your email. So what we're doing, let's recap. National Homebrew Day event. This was on May 7th, a month ago. We were having brew demos in the parking lot, 15% off everything sale. We had cornhole, games and prizes for kids. And you're going to see picture, video and stills of all this stuff is coming up. Free hot dogs, homebrew samples, and let there be pie. A little extra wrinkle. So we hooked up with East Durham Pie Company to sell some of their pie. And for us, not only is it another element that we can add to our presentation or add to our event, but it was another company to pair with on social media. So we mentioned them, as you can see, and we started pumping this up well in advance. We mentioned them. And they mention us. and the word gets out there even more. Just as a little aside to the power of mentioning other people. So last night we were downstairs with a lot of y'all enjoying, imbibing. We came across a good photo op that really was not the, if you're not a part of our company, you'd think, eh, whatever, what's the big deal? We mentioned White Labs. They retweeted it out to 20,000 of their people. We had, in this almost 6 years we've been in business, this was our, we've got almost 2,000 impressions so far in about 12 hours. If you go to White Labs, if you want to go to Twitter, at White Labs, and check it out, almost 2,000 impressions in 12 hours just because we got them to retweet. So partnering with people, partnering with other businesses is great, and using them in social media too, it's a symbiotic relationship. All right, and speaking of that, here's another tweet we had. It's on like Donkey Kong. We hashtag homebrew and Donkey Kong, Easter and Pie Company. We got the NC Beer guys to retweet it to their 10,000 followers. And if you look at the tweet activity, this was a lot of until last night hit. 16,000 or 1,600 impressions in 24 hours. We just broke the record last night with the goofy picture. So join us tonight. We should get it. We'll be up to some hijinks tonight, seeing how many Twitter impressions we can get tonight. Downstairs, with all the beer flowing, our creative abilities should hit a zenith at about 10 or 11 o'clock or so.
Yeah, we're going to hang a bunch of goofy swag off of ourselves and take pictures.
and mention other businesses. So anyway, so the Twitter was good, again, combining with other people and getting them to retweet some of your stuff. All right, Homebrewed Audio number 2, game day.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, hopefully Michael Buffer won't sue us. Is that the guy who does that?
That is, that's pretty good.
Okay, not bad impression. Again, some of the detail that Scott talked about earlier, used our parking lot, as you'll see soon, for a lot of the stuff for our brewing and for cornhole and for people to hang out. So we had another parking lot set up for parking, and there were signs pointing people in that direction. So no detail left out here. And for those unaware, if you happen to come into our store and you didn't know what was going on, boom, you were hit with it on the board. 15% off, store-wide. We sold T-shirts for $6. National Homebrew Today. And then we have stuff about our beer discount, our bonus points, our beer points, our loyalty program down below. We let off the day with Brew School.
Yeah, so our Brew School class is a lot of fun. We like to have a lot of fun on a Saturday morning. I think we can all agree that homebrewing is fun, and that's a huge component of our class. Obviously, we want people to leave with a lot of confidence and knowledge in homebrewing and feeling good that they can go and make a successful first batch. But we want people to leave excited, too. You know, we want people on their phones with their friends. Hey, we got to get doing this afternoon. You know, let's get together and brew up a batch of beer. So at the end of the classes, Scott usually leads a group of people down to the store. People are in the store. They're excited. They're shopping around. And what we did was we timed it so that the end of the class aligned with the beginning of the event. And so when people showed up to the event, there was already a ton of people in the store. So how many people have showed up to a party and you're the first person at the party? And it's really awkward, right? So when people showed up at our event, there was already a store full of people that were there, and it makes it a lot easier for the event to get started. So this was a great way to do a brew school class and then get the party going with a lot of steam.
And a lot of these people went down into the store and saw, wow, this store is already jammed, right? It's kind of like a restaurant you walk into. It's crowded. You're thinking, this probably is a pretty good place. So a lot of those people stuck around, and I don't know if the extra crowd in there helped persuade them to get started, but we sold a few beginner kits and hundreds of dollars in sales, and having the big crowds down below helped. This is one of our graduates, an alum of Brew School. There's no real significance other than that he was wearing a tie-dye shirt, and it looked like a good photo op. So, and he was in our parking lot brewing. So it was cool to see someone that we had taught who was part of our class not too long ago, and now he's brewing in the parking lot. Here's what the parking lot looked like, a wide shot. And one of the things I think about when I look at this is if we did it again, I mean, it was great having all this stuff, and people were really curious, but we might maybe do more extract brewers next time. And in the past, other events, we've had more extract, so people don't get spooked and say, oh, my gosh, if this is what I have to do to homebrew, that's crazy, I can't do that, to stress the simplicity of it, but it didn't seem to spook people as far as we could tell. Here's another picture that doesn't really have a lot to do with our day. We saw this large dog that Great Dane. I think in the future we could have that dog give rides to kids because that thing was huge. So the dog was drinking water. All right. Scenes from our parking lot. We're going to roll the video and let you get some of the sights and sounds of what it was like there on Brew Day or on National Homebrew Day. Live tweeting, of course.
I don't have my full amount in there yet, but I'll get it up to boiling. And when this boils, I'll add more of the wort. I'm just playing the waiting game.
So you could see people, they were stepping up asking questions. It kept people hanging around. It was just a nice, relaxed atmosphere. One of the things that we pride ourselves on is being a family-friendly store, and you'll see more examples of that. But we wanted to build this as a family-friendly thing where kids could do stuff too. Those cornhole boards are awesome.
You guys find anything good in there?
I got this one.
A long day.
So Scott's down. You guys probably saw that treasure box a little bit. This treasure box is awesome. Scott was the brainchild of that. So tell him about how we use the treasure box.
Yeah, so it's really important not to forget the kids when you have something like this. Even just day to day in your homebrew store. You know, I'm a dad, I have two kids, and I can remember going to the homebrew store when my kids were really young, and it was a really painful experience. It was like taking your kids to the bank or to get your taxes done. The kids didn't want to be there, and it just made for an awful experience. So having the treasure box at the store gives parents a way to get their kids excited to come to the store. You know, the kids aren't our customers, but their parents are. And I know for myself, there were some times where I thought about bringing my kids to the homebrew store, and I knew that it was just going to be such a bad experience that I skipped going to the homebrew store. So don't miss out on people coming to your store or potential sales because their kids don't want to go. Just adding something as simple as a treasure box, where if the kids are good, they can look through the swag that's in your treasure box and pick something fun, that'll get them excited to come too, and you won't miss out on those customers.
And it does, it's nice to help further the relationship between the customer and you, knowing it's a family-friendly place. I can bring my kids here, and they're going to get a prize. It's going to be all good.
And the kids won't pick up all the inventory off the shelves and start playing with it.
So speaking of kids, here's our pie stuff, and we had the pie by the slice. It turns out the pie lady got sick, so instead of selling it, we just gave it away, which was even better, free pie. So that made for an even better event, and speaking of kids, she was smiling. She ate pie. Not much to say. She enjoyed it. And that pie went quickly.
So some more swag here. Stickers. We had lots of stuff out. And we put it in places where it was clearly obvious that people could just pick it up and put it in their bags, take it with them. You want to have lots of stuff where people can just pick up free items, take them home. Even if people don't buy anything, you want people taking things home that have your company logo, the name, the website, the phone number, things that people will remember you by. You want to make it easy to put your brand on the things that they have around their home and their kitchen.
And here's some more of it. The bottle openers, and they were in a place that was easily accessible. We had them by the register, so people were on the counter, so people were picking them up on their way out. Which leads us to quiz question number 3. The cost of hot dogs and all related food items, flyer signs, bottle openers, coasters, little toys, and all miscellaneous items to put on this event so far cost what? Homebrewed audio clip number 3.
Think about it. What will it be? A, B, C, or D?
Did you like the falsy there at the end? I think I got up there. I think I'm ready for America's Got Talent. One of those. So I'm running through this with my wife's looking over my shoulder. She said, "Seriously, you're not going to do that, are you?" And I said, "Seriously, yeah, it's homebrewed audio, right?" And she rolled her eyes and reminded herself that maybe she didn't make the best choice. But
I think I need a big gong back here.
All right. How many of you think it's A, $400? Not many. A few. $500? $600? $7? All right. It was $500. So you may be asking, all right, well, this is all great. We see how much you put out, but how are the sales? And as you can see, this was kind of an accurate picture of what it looked like most of the day. We've got the beer station back there. We had the taps going. We were giving out free samples. We had wine over here, someone buying a kit. It was pretty much like this all day. So as Ice Cube would say, I gotta say, today was a good day. You guys know that song? Yeah? Okay. Some of you? All right, maybe not. I didn't have to use my AK. All right, here we go. Here's another video. Let me pause there real quick so you can take that in. This is some good data for us. Our average Saturday transactions, 44. On National Homebrew Day, 133. So in addition to not being a good singer, I'm not good at math. What's that, about 3 times average? Yeah, something like that? Okay, close enough. All right, here we go. No, I should pause for 1 second. That woman there she found out about us, about this event, from seeing one of the flyers at a brewery. She came in, bought a kit, got started brewing, then was in our brew school class the next week, and we signed her up in our rewards program. So we like to think that in a good way we got our hooks into her, and she had a good experience. There were no explosions, too, so I consider it a success on the CO2 room.
So we gave out free hot dogs. Hot dogs cost very, very little. People love eating hot dogs when they're sampling their homebrew.
We gave out beer samples, all IPAs, same grain bill, but different hops used in each so they could sample and compare and contrast.
We have some kits that go all the way up to 18 liters. So clearly, for each one of those, you'd be adding less filter.
Scott, one thing I wanted to ask you about is I didn't get any pie that day. You were right next to the pie. Coincidence?
That was on purpose.
I was wondering why there was none left. And that girl ate a bunch of pie, too, that little kid. Another thing we had going for us in the store was our pal Pico Pete. We got a Zymatic, and we're exploring different ways to monetize Pete, or as we say, putting Pete on the street. But this was a good thing while people were waiting in line or they were just browsing something to look at, and we explained it to them. And plus, the store smelled wonderfully aromatic, didn't it?
Yeah, it smelled like brew day in the store for sure.
Which was awesome. And when we brew with that, we tell people, come, you know, and we'll publicize it on social media, come back and you can try. I think our last beer was Cornholio that we made. So, you know, all the Beavis and Butthead references, perfect. We love that stuff. All right, so some stats for you. We signed up 18 new people with our beer rewards program that day, a rewards program called Beer Points, and half of those bought starter kits. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were 7 or 8 that bought beer kits and 1 for the wine equipment kits. So we got a bunch of new people that day, and we got them into our program, and now that they're with us on Beer Points, or they're with our program, we have their email. We'll send them out coupons in their birthday month, and they can... Hopefully, we'll send them status reports on how many points they've earned and what coupons that entitles them to.
And normally, we sell the tickets to our brew school. The day that we had this event, we were just giving them out. If anybody was expressing any kind of interest in getting started, you got 2 tickets to come with you and a friend to the brew school to learn how to do it. Basically, just trying to get people in as much as we can and having them learn how to do it and get started.
All right, another video to roll here of us getting people signed up for beer points.
Phone number, and then I think after 200 points, you get a $10 gift card.
Awesome. So she's explaining it, putting them in the system.
What's your last name?
Gorman.
You are in.
Two rows.
The
this is a really good opportunity, you know, with the discount, and also it seems like everybody here is geared towards helping people just get started.
And we actually talked, she had a lot of questions, so I answered a lot of questions. We talked for a while, and we already, you know, started to forge a good relationship, so you know, I think she'll be back, and she got good advice. She came back the next week, but you know, hopefully, I think we did whatever we could that day to try to get a long-term customer. Leads us to quiz question number 4 and another Homebrewed audio track, which I know y'all are excited about. See, they're not laughing anymore. Earlier on, you're like, "Oh, it's cute," and now it's like, ugh,
"They're running for the door."
We got to listen to it again. We're gonna be pelted with vegetables on the next one. Okay, so quiz question number 4. What was our most effective method to inform people and get them to attend our event? We found out through a survey on the National Homebrew Day what it was. Was it Facebook, Twitter, posters, flyers, email blast, signs, or people in our store? And let's roll this Homebrewed audio clip. You'll like this one too.
Ooh, you have 5 choices this time, and I'm still spitting mad rhymes.
Even my daughter said, "Dad, you can't be serious. Please don't do that." I said, "I'm going to do it." She said, "I'm going to be in North Carolina, but I'll be embarrassed for you." All right. How many for A, Facebook? Y'all know it's not Facebook because we had the 37 people where we reached. B, Twitter. C, posters, flyers. D, email blast. And E, the signs or people in our store. Well, let's reveal the results, shall we? Survey says, we knew Facebook was going to be a dud, right? Twitter, 19%. I also thought it was going to be a little higher after all the traffic we got, but hey, 1 in 5 people who came found out about us, that's good. Posters, flyers, 14%. And here's the big dog, that email blast went out to 2,900 people. Apparently a lot of people opened it. So that was good. This is proof of our success. And people finding out about in the store, 25%. So you can see it was pretty much all effective. Facebook, no, but we didn't really put much attention into it. It took 5 minutes to set that thing up, and that was all. So by using social media, getting on the community, telling people at the store, I mean, a variety of methods worked well to get the word out here for that.
Yeah, so before I mentioned the importance of that email blast, and an email blast, I mean, it almost sounds like the MySpace of a marketing campaign, but we can see that was the biggest thing that got the people to the store.
So let's hear what people thought about it.
It's awesome. This is great. The pie was really good. And my son wanted to eat like 10 hot dogs, so... So thank you, guys.
Nice.
Awesome.
Sure.
This was a great event because a lot of good tastings, a lot of good advice, a lot of good deals. So all around great. We didn't have any of the food, but it was awesome that they provided food. We love this location. We love all the advice that we get. So this event kind of culminates all of that, where you can have a nice local gathering, a nice it feels like you're among friends.
And they are among friends. So that was a lot of the feedback we got. We talked to some other people too, but all of them pretty much said the same thing.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting there was that the first woman that talked, she talked about her kids having fun, she talked about the hot dogs, she talked about the pie. She didn't talk about beer. So this is somebody that came out to the event, maybe wasn't even thinking that much about beer and homebrew, and maybe she came with somebody else, but she left having a really, really good experience, and she is probably going to tell her friends about what she did that afternoon.
And this leads us also to think of some of the stuff we were talking about yesterday, right? Pairing with another company that, even though they may not have anything to do with homebrew, can bring the people. So, you know, it can get you thinking about, you know, what else could we get out there? And it got us thinking, you know, maybe we get another brewery out there next time or another type of food. Whatever it is, if you can just get people to your shop, whether or not they're interested in homebrew or not, it's going to be a good thing. And I don't know that she was, but I'm pretty sure her husband bought a bunch of stuff, but I don't quite recall. All right, so final quiz question. How much did we do in sales the day of the big event? This is not including sales tax. Was it $29.74, $47.29, $72.49, or was it $1 million? Isn't that how Dr. Evil does it? Yeah, like the pinky? right? From Austin Powers. All right. And I know you're jonesing for one more homebrewed audio clip. This is
it's the last one.
This is the last one, so you're almost there. You've made it to the end. Ah, oh, I gave the answer away. I was supposed to clip on that. Here we go.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, I would buy you a house, and I'd also buy you a kegerator.
It would be a really good kegerator, right, if you had $1 million? So I was going to ask you to, like, raise your hand, but I clicked on the wrong thing, so I was going to make a joke about, yeah, it was $1 million. Why would we not make $1 million? $72.49. That was a pretty good day. It was our biggest single sales day ever. So here's some final math. $72.49, the one-day sales, about $600 in expenses. It's a nice bottom line. And that was our parking lot after everything had cleared out that day. It was a long day, and it took a lot of work. But, you know, next time it'll probably be even easier since we've got the infrastructure down. We know how to do this. It's just a matter of who are we going to pair with, how are we going to do it maybe a little differently.
And some of those expenses will carry over into our next event. We didn't give out all the swag that we ordered. We ordered some things like the parking signs that we can reuse for future events. So that expense number will probably go down and down for future events.
And what we like to do is reflect on what we did well and what we could do better. The numbers are great, but we immediately started thinking, all right, how can we make this even better next time? What can we do to improve it? So a few ideas we came up with. More than one email blast. If we sent out one email blast and 40% of the people got it, we should do more next time. And a lot of this is just, well, duh, yeah, we should do more of that next time, right? So more than one email next time?
Two.
That would get us at 80%. If we had three, that would be 120%.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Go with three.
Good math.
160%? I told you I was good at math. I ain't lying. That's four, make 160%. All right. Perhaps a smaller than 15% discount. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We're just thinking about things. Maybe the 15% brought a lot of people there. Maybe if it was 10, would they still have come? Not sure. This is probably one of the big ones. More collaborative partners. We would love more food or a brewery with a bigger social media presence than us. We have one brewery in town that has 25,000 followers. They're going to be my first call, and they've got a lot of they're great at social media. People love their beer and their brand. Maybe we partner with them next time. Maybe we have a homebrewed recipe for some of their ales and lagers, and we work a partnership that way. But something to get us more people and more people through social media as well. Maybe more beer points for purchases. Again, don't know. This page was just sort of us thinking out loud a little bit, and you know, what could we do that might be better for next time? Because it was a really, really good event, but we're continually striving to make it better.
Yeah, and this part in the event planning is just as important as the prep work. Going back and taking a look at what worked, what didn't work, just having continuous improvement, that's just going to make your events better and better as you go forward.
All right, as we approach the 45-minute mark, we out. Holler if you need any help. We'll take questions in just a sec, but this is our phone number and email address. Scott's phone number is open 24/7. Even on Christmas, you can call him in the morning. He'll be happy to take your call. That's the lower one, right?
It forwards to a voicemail that says, relax, don't worry, I'm a homebrew.
But we got our email up there, phone numbers. Call us, email us. We're happy to help you have that big party of your dreams and a big sales day. And we hope also that by reaching these people, we're going to work on retention too. You know, we don't view it as just a one-time thing. Not only do we want to have these parties again, but the people who came, we want them coming back. And so we're going to be contacting them. We get as many into our rewards program as we could. Hope they had a good experience. And we'll continue to grow that email list and grow our customer list and try to get more of these people back in the store and have them bring their friends next time. Are there any questions? Step on up.
Hey there. So you guys talked about rolling over some of the expenses. I'm hoping you don't still have hot dogs left.
No. Hot dogs are a one-time purchase. We get those new.
But you mentioned you had 133 transactions versus your average of 44. How does that $72.49 in sales compare to your average Saturday sales?
My guess is it's probably about four times, somewhere in there. Okay. Yeah, so about 2,500 for on an average Saturday. So about three times? About three times as much.
I want to thank you. It's a very, very, very good talk. We've been in business 20 years. We've done a lot of events, and I've had successful events and unsuccessful events. What I want to ask you is, when you do something that's for free, you have no idea what your turnout is going to be. So you have to determine how many hot dogs, how much parking. What I've found is I've fallen flat on my face, been over, you know, had too much stuff, and then nobody showed up, really, and I looked kind of stupid. I've been overly successful the other way. Couldn't believe they were parking on the highway, going down the highway. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, like the cops are going to come and wonder what the hell they're running across the highway to get to the store. So what I've implemented kind of is a small fee, like maybe $5, where they have to let me know so I know what's coming. How do you, when you just say free, how do you account for what's going to happen today?
Well, some of this was on prior experience. We've done a couple of these before, so we knew. We had an idea of who was going to show up and how many people. Another thing we tried to do is to hedge our bets a little bit is a lot of the things that we had to shell out for that day were hot dogs. I mean, the day of, it was stuff that was relatively cheap. So if we had a few extra packages of hot dogs and buns, not a big deal. It's not really that much of a problem. We had beer on tap that's going to be there anyway. So, you know, to answer your question, we don't have a way of knowing exactly how many are going to be there, but we know a little bit from prior experience, and we try to hedge our bets by not purchasing too much stuff that we can't reuse. A lot of the signs we can use again, all the swag, you know, if no one showed up, we can still use that again.
The hot dogs, which is what was kind of the big thing that we gave away for free that we can't really carry over, it's actually shockingly cheap. If you go to Sam's Club, I mean, we got, I think it was 180 hot dogs and buns for under $50, which I still can't believe as I'm saying this that it could be that cheap. But for $50 to serve free food to people, and they were really excited about it, and they had something to eat with their homebrew samples, that's just not a lot of money to spend on that type of free giveaway.
No wonder the hot dogs. What was in those hot dogs that they were so cheap? I don't even want to know.
People loved them. They loved the hot dogs.
The people like the dogs. You know, another thing we talked about maybe doing next time is maybe getting a food truck out there. So again, if you're not only partnering with another business in the community, but you're pushing that responsibility on someone else, then it's one less thing for you to worry about. Yeah, there'll be food there, and it's going to be Chirpa Chirpa Dumplings or whoever, right? And then it's one less thing you have to worry about. But going cheap for the day of stuff that you can't reuse was kind of our strategy.
Did that answer your question? I know you asked also about charging a fee for people to come. Yeah, that's one of the difficult things about marketing is there's a certain amount of faith that has to go along with what you're doing, that it's actually getting out to people. And that's where things that I was talking about like MailChimp or Twitter, where you can actually look at those things and see analytics about how many people are seeing it, how many people are engaging with those things, how actively are people learning about your event. That's a much better way to get the message out than just putting up signs where you have no idea if people are seeing those signs or not. Doing online things like that where you can see statistics is a much better way to tell if your marketing is actually working. And that would give you a better idea probably of how many people are actually going to turn out. It's still kind of a crapshoot. You're never going to know for sure. But you want to make sure that you're getting the message out to as many people as you can.
Yes, ma'am.
Two questions. Was this the first time you ever did this type of event?
This is our second or third, I think.
This is the third, but that's including the one that we had to bail out on because of the rain. And we did all the planning and everything for it. We just got destroyed because of the rain.
How many events a year can you get away with before it becomes, it's just another event?
That's interesting that you say that because we were talking about this. Like, man, we need to do this every weekend. This would be great, right? We want a 7 grand on every Saturday. It would be great. Then we'd have that $1 million before too long. We talked about that, and our guess is that we're going to try to probably do this twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. I don't know. We're still looking for the sweet spot. Call me in a year, and we'll figure it out. But I think twice a year would probably be good. Maybe you can get away with three times.
The other thing that you could do, too, is it doesn't always have to be a big, huge event. We've talked about maybe just having a weekend day where we just set up the same type of hot dog giveaway that we had. You know, it costs $50. We put some of the extra swag out on the table. And it's not a huge event, but it's something to get people excited to come to the store for.
So my question is about the MailChimp. You said you sent it out to 2,900. Are those your customers that you sent it to? Because we have MailChimp as well, but it's a double opt-in. So unless they say they're willing to accept it, I have over 8,000, but they haven't all opt-in. So how'd you get them on there?
Yeah, so the way that we have that list is we have a sign-up in the store. We have a sign-up on the website for people to opt into getting emails from us. And we also have our classes where we get people's emails, and coming to the classes basically signs them up for that list, and people understand that. So we've basically grown that list over several years. We can just manage that on MailChimp. But that's mostly people that have come to the class and people that have signed up for it. Now, again, remember Scott was talking about dropping the flyers into the bag of the information about the event. Putting stuff in a bag is a great way to get information to people, you know, because you don't have to be in their face about it. You can just put it in the bag. They can find it when they go and take the stuff out of the bag. And maybe you have something that you drop into your bag that says, hey, you know, sign up for email, and here's how you do it. And you give them a real easy link to go to and just sign up for email from you. The easier that you can make it for people to do that stuff, the more people are likely to do it.
Great talk. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, sure.
I was wondering, your rewards program, how do you administer that? Is that part of your POS system, or is that a different piece of software? And, if you could elaborate on that, I'd appreciate it.
It's done through the point of sale. I can't tell you a lot about it, but I don't know exactly how it was set up and or created, but it was done. It's done through point of sale. That's the guy who can...
Thank you.
Tell you all about that.
So I had a quick comment for, anticipating how many people are going to show up. An idea I had, so if you're getting a lot of response to your MailChimp, maybe have a link in there to, register here and you get a special piece of swag or, with you guys, maybe register here in advance and when you show up, we'll give you this many extra beer points. Something like that so people are signing up without having to pay a fee just to help anticipate demand.
Yeah, I like that idea. Boom, another good one. Thanks for that.
Two questions real quick. One, I saw you brought in some extra people to help out. How many people did you have on staff that day?
We had one extra person we brought in to help out. One, two, were there five of us? We were all doing different things, though. So, like, we had one woman who was just pouring wine, but the people who were actually working that day, including Scott for the hot dogs, it was you, me, Kyle, Moody... Five, I think.
Cool. And then... Oh, cool. Nice. And then second question, with the food and the pies and stuff, did you guys do anything through, like, health department, or was it just, like, a ask for forgiveness if they show up?
Yeah.
Second option.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
Do you guys, one thing we've noticed when we do these events, we get a big pop in sales too, but have you kind of taken a look at what the lag is afterwards and how long it takes? Because, you get a lot of your tried and trues coming in, spending that day, and then it's like this, you go in this little bit of a lull is what we see.
Yeah, we were anticipating that a little bit, or I was wondering about that. And I'd have to honestly, I haven't crunched all the numbers, but just briefly looking at it anecdotally, it doesn't look like we took a huge hit. The next weekend, if I'm not mistaken, was about on par with normal, with what we did normally. I'm not 100% certain, but I think we were pretty close in there to what we would usually do. So we didn't. Yeah, I thought, well, okay, now no one's going to show up for a week. But as far as we can tell, that was not the case. I mean, it was a lot of new people in the store too that day who had never been there before, and that probably accounted for some of it. And that was, you know, one of the greatest things is getting new people in there. We keep hearing about how fewer people are homebrewing because they can walk 5 minutes and get their choice of 1,000 different beers. So picking up some of the slack or getting those new people in there and reaching out to them is critical. We have competition. There's no one else in Durham, but in the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area, there's a gardening store that sells supplies in Chapel Hill. They don't have as much as we do. There are a couple big stores in Raleigh, so we do have competition. There's no one within probably 15, 20 miles of it, maybe about probably 15, 20 miles away. There's someone there, so yeah, we do have competition.
How does it work with samples? I'm from New York. And I don't think I can do sampling. Just hearing the talk here, you know, Baltimore has something, 1 ounce or 2 ounce, whatever that case is. So I do have my own beer in the store, and I let certain people sample and certain people I don't, just because I don't know the legalities on that.
Yeah, as we investigated that, and as best we can tell, it's kind of a gray area. So as always, if we see a loophole, we're gonna drive a truck through it, and a trailer on the back of that truck. We've been told that you can provide free samples to invited guests. So, you know, if we just had a party and opened it up, I mean, I think, you know, if you have a kegger for the community, that could be a problem. But all those people were our invited guests. So I guess to the letter of the law, we were pretty good. North Carolina now is going through some scrutiny with the homebrewing laws and what you can distribute and can you charge for this admission to a homebrew event. So those laws are getting a closer look now by lawmakers. But as far as we were able to determine, it was all good and no one complained and we haven't received a summons yet. So we'll knock on wood and say, woo, it's all good.
Speaking to that question, I can tell you in Virginia, as the owner of the homebrew shop, I can get a license through the ABC. I have to be very specific. I can have 4 beers. I have to tell them what they are, and I can give out 4 2-ounce samples per person. So 8 ounces of beer, you know, and it's very difficult to do. So what I have done is actually work with our local homebrew club. They can fill it out. They get a different sort of license. They're responsible for the pouring and all of that stuff. Everything's in their name. And the homebrew club, the members get to share their beers. There's a wider selection available. And I let them run it. I don't even have to worry about it. So just speaking to that, if you can work with your local homebrew club, it's well worth it. And also to your Facebook thing, I have found that if you do a boost for like 10 or 20 bucks, you actually can get quite a bit of return on that if you narrow down your categories you're targeting. And what actually happens is you get people sharing it sort of organically that way.
Okay.
People that wouldn't normally see it, and it helps out a little bit.
Okay. Good advice. Thanks. And, yeah, check every state's got different laws regarding alcohol distribution, consumption, et cetera. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This is a comment that I hesitate to make because I'm afraid that somebody might judge negatively, but it has to do with kids. I'm the mother of 3 kids. People want to get away from their kids. That's, no, I mean, I'd say you have to decide what's right for you.
Right.
My partner is my sister. We disagree on children. I work there all day. She doesn't. I find my clients want to leave their kids behind. It's not a child-friendly environment. They do run around. They do touch things. And but that's just my personal choice. I would not be nice to children,
right?
But I would not, for me, encourage bringing children to something. That husband wants to get away from those kids. He wants to say to his wife, I'm going down the homebrew shop, and I'm not bringing the kids. So that's just my personal take on it.
No, I hear you. And we try to be sensitive to that, too. One thing we did was in the parking lot, we had a different area. The brewers were in one spot, and we had a wide space where kids could throw the beanbags for cornhole, where they could throw the frisbee. So there was a lot of space for them to run and play. There were the moms were sitting on the sidewalk. In a lot of cases, the dad did get away. I'm sorry, I'm being stereotypical, but that's kind of what happened, right? The mom's with the kids eating pie, and they're playing, and the dad's browsing in the homebrew shop and sampling all the IPAs. I mean, that's just how it went down, right? I know it's stereotyping, but that's what it was. So we like to think that we kind of provided that respite for the dad who just wanted to get away for a little bit, but the kids could still have fun and run around and get some free food along the way. But yeah, I mean, I hear you. It's sometimes you just want to escape and not have someone tugging at your pant strings while you're filling out your grain bill order. I hear you.
My biggest concern with that is potentially missing people coming to the store or missing sales because they didn't want to be bothered of bringing their kids to the homebrew store that was just going to be a problem.
You know, and if you say, you know, kids not welcome, or, you know, in some way, if that message gets out there, I would worry too that you're sending a message to the parents that, oh, well, you don't want my kids there. I mean, I think there might be ways to just make it more, not have the kids stuff, but instead of saying no kids allowed, just make it a more adult environment. Okay. Okay. I thought it was nice. The kids were hanging out, and they were, everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves, and there was enough space for them to run and play, and they weren't, no danger of them running into the brewers or any of the flames from.
The kids stuff is a good distraction, too, because whether you want them to or not, people are going to bring their kids to the homebrew store. And it's nice to have something that will, take the kids away from the product so that they're not picking up the mash paddles and rowing a boat and, stuff like that. If you've got something to, take their minds off of all the shiny metal objects and stuff like that, that's a good thing.
Just one more comment about kids in the store. Sometimes dads bring the kids to give mom a break, so that then they are allowed to take some time to brew. That's what happens in our store.
Good point. Well, our hour is about up. If you got any questions, we're going to be around, and we'll be downstairs and down below for the party this evening. So hope we can help. I hope we helped you, and contact us if we can help you further. Thank you, guys.